What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, you're listening to Make Mine a Double, a little segment I've put together where I can share just a bit more of what I really think about today's news and political crazy. So sit back, relax, and join me for a few sips of sanity and make mine a double.
I don't know what the hell CNN was thinking when execs sat down at a table and thought it would be a good idea to take an hour of airtime, prime time, and put Donald Trump in a room with an audience full of MAGA sycophants and a reporter, anchor, who would be responsible for checking, rechecking, and checking again the lies, ignorance, misogyny of Donald Trump for an hour. Who made that decision? There was a lot of noise about CNN making the move to do this in the first place. And there were those, myself included, who thought initially, maybe this be a way for people to kind of get us. No, that was just a dumb moment to even begin to think that way. And I think a lot of people realize that now. It's just one of these things, one of these moments that when you watch it unfold real time, folks, you say to yourself, why? The lies out of Donald Trump's mouth began almost immediately after the introductions. And my takeaway in that initial moment, beyond the, well, nothing's changed here, and what did you expect, was Trump lives in a world in which lies are the thing. It is a world full of lies. His life has been a lie, from how much wealth he has to how smart and put together he is as a business owner to how he ran the country for 4 years. He lives in this perpetual world of lies, so much so that when he has to confront the truth, you realize the truth for him is the lie. And it just was amazing to watch that scenario play itself out over and over and over again for an hour. I just don't get what CNN thought would come from this. This man is an idiot. This man is incompetent. He's a petulant little man with a certain smallness, not just of ideas, but of purpose that is centered around revenge and confirmation. Confirmation that he is the best thing that has ever happened to us, and revenge against those who would say otherwise. It is amazing to me just how bad this got so quickly. Well, I take that back. No, it's not amazing. It was fully expected in the end. But what was more profound for me in listening to and watching this thing, this complete shit show unfold in front of my eyes, was the fact that the audience, the American people in that room, applauded, laughed, and gave energy to every word that came out of the man's mouth. when Caitlin Collins, the CNN anchor who did this interview, pressed Donald Trump at one point because he wouldn't answer the question. His snapback was, "You're a nasty person." And the audience erupted in applause and laughter. And he sat there and soaked up the moment because he knew, "I got you." But what it showed me was a man who doesn't really have control of much of anything around him. So he blusters and he bullies and he bullshits because that's all he can do. Because he is not smart enough to know the facts and not honest enough to tell the truth. And so in a moment like that, when he's finally pressed, "Would you answer the question I asked you?" His response is, "You're a nasty person." And it was actually kind of nasty to watch his behavior. There are a couple other things I think that are important takeaways here. And one of them actually kind of goes to everyone else who's looking to run for president in this Republican primary against Donald Trump. Y'all ain't ready for this. You are not ready for this shit at all. At all. Imagine 2-3 other people on that stage last night with Caitlin being asked questions and trying to attack Donald Trump. And he's just picking your ass off one by one. Last night was the definitive nail in the coffin of the GOP primary because it showed not only the magical, improbable reality that Donald Trump remains bigger than anything else in the GOP, but it reminded me and it showed me that no one else is ready to take this down. No one else is ready to take this on. This was a lockdown for the GOP, and Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Asa Hutchinson, Chris Christie, good luck. Ron DeSantis, dude, if you're looking at this race, I just sit down and wait to 28 because you ain't ready for this. Your jaw is too glassy. Your skin is too thin. And you're not built for what you would encounter on that stage. And that's the reality here. So let's dive a little bit deeper into some of the lowlights of last night's conversation. When you start off, and of course the big news of the week was the decision handed down by the E. Jean Carroll jury that held Donald Trump liable, responsible for sexual assaulting her and defaming her. When asked about her, now let's go back. When asked about knowing Miss Carroll, Donald Trump just outright denies it.
"I never met this woman. I never saw this woman. This woman said I met her at the front door of Bergdorf Goodman, which I rarely go into other than for a couple of charities. I met her in the front door. She was about 60 years old then. This is like 22, 23 years ago. I met her in the front door of Bergdorf Goodman. I was immediately attracted to her, and she was immediately attracted to me. And we had this great chemistry. We're walking into a crowded department store. We had this great chemistry, and a few minutes later, we end up in a room, a dressing room, of Bergdorf Goodman, right near the cash register. And then she found out there are locks on the door, so she said, I found one that was open. She found one. She learned this at trial. She found one that was open. What kind of a woman meets somebody and brings them up, and within minutes, you're playing hanky-panky in a dressing room, okay? I don't know if she was married then or not. John Johnson, I feel sorry for you, John Johnson.
Mr. President, can I...
His obvious lies aside, because the jury didn't believe him, didn't believe that he didn't know her, that he'd never met her, he never spent time with her, and in fact concluded that he did attempt, if not in fact, rape her, and at least minimally sexually assaulted her. That wasn't the part that I found the most offensive in the answer. What I found the most offensive were the assholes in the room who laughed at rape. who laughed at sexual assault, who did not take seriously what a jury of Donald Trump's peers found him to have been liable for. Their response was to laugh. And I'm sure if their mother, sister, or daughter was a E. Jean Carroll in another circumstance or situation, I'm sure they would find that amusing if some man wanted to grab and grope on them. I don't care if it's in a dressing room or standing in line at a Starbucks. I bet you they wouldn't laugh. The lack of humanity, the lack of understanding and compassion for someone who didn't make this shit up. Yes, it came later in life. Yes, there were parts where it was difficult for her to piece together something that happened 30 years ago. But she did it well and effective enough that a jury of her peers found him liable. And that, to me, in those moments, said a lot about where this country is, that they would sit there and laugh at a woman. And this is the story of women across the globe who are abused by men, who are objectified by men, who are assaulted physically, emotionally by men, who are raped by men. And when they stand finally with courage and conviction to tell their story, we have bullshit analysis like Donald Trump's. Well, we've been doing that for over a million years. And if you're a celebrity, sure, you can grab women. People do that all the time. They expect it. The thing that I found the most interesting and why that moment last night, among others, but particularly that one was so insulting, is that if you go back just a week or so, when they released the video of Donald Trump's deposition, and the question of knowing Ms. Carroll came up and identifying Ms. Carroll, this is what happened.
Do you recall when you first saw this photo?
At some point during the process, I saw it. That's her husband, John Johnson, who was an anchor for ABC. Nice guy, I thought. I mean, I don't know him, but I thought he was pretty good at what he did. I don't even know who the woman. Let's see. I don't know who. It's Marla.
You say Marla's in this photo?
That's Marla, yeah. That's my wife.
Which woman are you pointing to?
No.
That's here.
Carol.
Oh, that?
The person you just pointed to was E. Jean Carroll.
Who is that? Who is this?
Point, your wife.
And the woman on the right is your then wife, Ivana?
I don't know. This was the picture. Ivana. I assume that's John Johnson. Is that
that's Carol?
Because it's very blurry.
The other part of this that I found very interesting was just how much in the lying box. Again, Donald Trump wants us to believe that January 6th was something other than what we all saw and realized it to be. And that somehow we're the crazy ones. We're the crazy ones because we're sitting here saying, wait a minute, all these people came up to the Capitol because you asked them to come to the Capitol. All these people got violent because you had told them the day before it was going to be wild and that they had to defend you against efforts to take you out of power, which process was called an election. And it just is stunning to me how much people still buy this stuff. So here he is on this stage last night, being challenged about the call he made to Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia at the time. And here we go.
9 boxes in Chinatown.
That you're facing, which is the one that's happening in Georgia, where they are investigating there your efforts to overturn the election results in the state of Georgia.
I did nothing wrong. It was a perfect phone call.
Let me finish my question. At the center of that is that call that you had with the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger.
Yeah, sure.
Given the fact that there are indictments expected to come in that case this summer, is that a call you would make again today?
Yeah, I called questioning the election. I thought it was a rigged election. I thought it had a lot of problems. I had every, I guess he's Secretary of State, I called. Listen to this. There are like 7 lawyers on the call, many of them from there. We're having a call. We're having a normal call. Nobody said, oh, gee, he shouldn't have said that. Why? If this call was bad, I questioned the election.
You asked
if this
him
call
to
was bad,
votes.
I didn't ask him to find anything.
Let me We've just heard the audio
if
tape,
this
Mr.
Call
President.
Was
there's
bad,
an audio of you asking him to find
I
you
said,
11,000
you owe me votes.
Votes
because the election was rigged.
You're just a dumbass liar. You did not say you owe me votes. You said, Brad, I need you to go find me 11,780 votes. And we're supposed to be the stupid ones. And yet there are many who are stupid because they will sit there and they'll listen to this man say to them, I never said that. And they will walk away thinking, yeah, he never said that. When we play the audio tape of him actually telling the Secretary of State, you need to find me the number of votes I need to win Georgia. Y'all, it just doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. And we allow it to go on the way we allow it, the way we do. I don't know, again, what CNN thought they would get from this. There was no, oh, let's remind people of what Donald Trump was. We don't need to be reminded. We've been living with this shit since 2016. What are you reminding me of? Don't need to be reminded of how much of a competent, authoritarian asshole he is. I don't need to be reminded of that. I know that. In fact, damn near 80 million people, Americans, told us that they didn't want it. And yet, Mr. Licht over at CNN thinks that there was something newsworthy to be garnered from this. So let's talk about newsworthiness and what Donald Trump had to say about those pesky little documents that were lying around his office and in his house. Because, you know, the deflection was automatically, well, you know, Joe Biden has 1,800 boxes. Okay, Joe Biden could have had 50,000 boxes. But Joe Biden, when he was either made aware of or by federal authorities or his own team that they had erroneously packed up boxes of documents, some of which were classified, it didn't take him a year. It didn't take subpoenas from the archives. It didn't take the Department of Justice to do an investigation. It didn't take a raid on his home in Delaware to get those boxes back. His lawyers, very helpfully and with much haste, returned the property of the government to the appropriate authorities. Donald Trump basically told them, kiss my fat ass. If you want them, come get them because I own them. And kept citing the Presidential Records Act, which Donald Trump has never read and did not understand clearly when his lawyers told him, and you know his lawyers told him, you can't keep these documents. There is no reading of the Presidential Records Act that would infer, impute, or tell outright a sitting president that they own any documents produced during their term as president, especially those that were considered classified.
Did you ever show those classified documents to anyone?
Not really. I would have the right to. By the way, they were declassified after.
What do you mean, not really?
Not that I can think of.
Did you catch that moment? Did you ever show those classified documents to someone? Oh, well, not really. He told on himself. Of course he has. He's probably sold some of that shit to our enemies. The Saudis, I bet you have documents. The Russians, I bet you have documents that Donald Trump sold. And the money's placed in an account or somehow surreptitiously included in that $2 billion that was paid to his son-in-law. Come on, people. Y'all smarter than this. The idea of accountability is essential to owning Donald Trump, exposing his lies, and making sure this shit never happens again. Because if we don't, this doesn't get better. And as the presidential election is ahead of us, how do you think what you heard last night is going to be any different in 2025 and beyond with President Trump back in the White House? And who do you think he's going to put around him? And what the hell do you think they're going to do? The problem with Republicans is they are so afraid of this man, they can't even get out of their own way and find not a pair, not even one ball among them to stand up and tell him to shut the hell up and sit down. We're done with you. Tim Scott ain't doing that. He's not built like that. Nikki Haley ain't doing that. She's not built like that. Who's going to do it? No one. No one. And that's where we are. And so our reality right now is last night was not a reminder as much as it was a preview of what the next 14 months are going to look and sound like in America with this asshole running for president. And the shit show began with a network that is so desperate to be Fox 2, so desperate for cleaving off the Fox audience in the midst of all the crazy that's going on at Fox, that it would subject the country to an hour of lies, bullshit, obfuscation, more bullshit, misogyny, more bullshit, and serve it up as newsworthy. And now you know why I always make mine a double when it comes to all of this shit. I want to leave you with this from my friend Rick Wilson, who had the perfect coda to what we watched last night.
We're in a break now from the presidential town hall with CNN, Caitlin Collins. And whatever the fuck they thought they were going to get out of this, they instead have set a match to democracy once again. You are letting an insane person stand there and make people giggle and laugh when he jokes about rape. You make people giggle and laugh when he jokes about abortion, when he calls an African-American police officer a thug. This insanity should be pulled off the fucking air. Chris Licht, you should be ashamed of yourself. This is astoundingly bad for the brand of CNN. It's astoundingly bad for the country. And it's astoundingly bad, honestly, folks, for every other Republican candidate in the primaries. Wrap that shit up. It's done. You saw this tonight. You know you can't beat him on the stage. Everybody else, oars up. Time to go to work because he's going to be the nominee. This shit is unfucking believable. I've never seen anything like it. It is a disaster of the highest fucking degree.
What's up, baby? It's Bretsky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.